All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. October the 14th, 2025. Beautiful day here on the east side of the country. I hope it is great wherever you're at. We are at the end of a nor'easter. And, it's been pretty wild and exciting. A lot of rain and wind. A lot of what-ifs, a lot of feelings, a lot of wonder. My mother-in-law called yesterday, charge all your battery devices. I was like, why? We've got a nor'easter. I was like, oh, my God. You know, I remember when nor'easter was just a bad storm. Now it's the end of the world. I think it's really this lack of any real weather drama lately that we have had that has created all this. They're just waiting to have some weather drama. So now it is the nor'easter. And they did actually cancel school yesterday for the nor'easter. But, you know, I don't know. I guess it's better to be safe than sorry. We did have some flooding. You know, it is it's actually a pretty serious storm. Thank God it's not cold, man. If this is snow, which we've had snow, these snow nor'easters. You know, it can be a game changer. So, but I think everyone's safe. Hopefully, everyone's safe and secure. And it's about over. I'm actually supposed to go paddling tomorrow. I think the wind is supposed to end tonight. I don't know. I can't imagine. I don't know. There I go again, imagining, right? Wonder, feelings, imagine. These are not facts. These are thoughts. And so we'll see how it goes. I would like to go paddling. It's been a minute. Went to Mexico. I got back on Friday. What a wonderful trip we had. Beautiful. There was actually a hurricane down there, hurricane off the coast of California. It's funny, when you live on the East Coast, they don't really mention many of the what's going on over on the West Coast, especially down towards Mexico, because there was a full-on hurricane down there, which I had no idea. It wasn't headed towards us. It was more headed out, but it was definitely pulling some stuff. And so we had a wonderful trip. Great, you know, love Mexico. Definitely had some breeze, and we had rain probably every day, which honestly was perfectly fine by us because that sun down there is hot. It's intense. One day we had, so we got to go, you know, we're just average folk. We just basically get a room. We like to get a swim up, which is, you know, you get a room that has a little pool up behind it, and you can kind of go out your back door and swim around a little bit. It's perfectly fine by us. Doesn't have to be the greatest room in the world. But we get down there, and, you know, of course we're early, so the room isn't going to be ready till 3, which is, you know, sort of how it goes usually. But so we usually go have lunch and we'll just sort of walk around and, you know, kill some time until our room is ready or we can change or something. And so that's what we did. We went down and had lunch. And it was probably around 2:30, 2:45. I was like, maybe we can just go get our summer clothes or something. Because, you know, if anybody's gone on a trip to Mexico or somewhere warm, usually we're not dressed for the warmth. We're usually dressed for the environment that we were leaving, and I just had sweatpants on, which I just pulled up to my knees to sort of make like shorts, but wasn't cutting it. It was hot. And so we were just, maybe we can get some bathing suits or something, and we go in there, and the guy's like, do you like surprises? And we're like, yeah, man, we like surprises. And so he's like, all right. He grabbed the key, and of course they put our bags and everything on the golf cart, and off we went. And they took us down, and they apparently decided to upgrade our room. And so we ended up in a room with a swim-up on the beach, which is really cool. In fact, it was next door to the presidential suite, which is really just two rooms. And I don't know if it's for the actual president. I can't imagine Trump going there, but it's a pretty good-sized room. Pretty nice upgrade. And, man, we were excited. Beautiful. Love, absolutely love Mexico. Love this resort. Secrets at Maroma is the resort. It's 15 years old. It's a little older, but they take wonderful care of it. It's a beautiful place. Super great people. The food is on point. I've been home for a few days and I miss the food. And that typically isn't usually the case on an all-inclusive resort, but this place has fantastic food. But I could honestly eat tacos and tostados and that kind of junk every day. So I'm pretty easy going, but food was great. People were great. And the room was great. And we ended up having a neighbor who was like-minded, him and his wife, actually. And they were like-minded folks. So we had a lot in common, and we chatted and chatted and chatted and got sunburned. I chatted so long because we had our room on the right and they had the room on the left. So I was always looking over to the left. And so my back got sunburned and his chest got sunburned. It was pretty funny. But man, what a great time. And we were talking to one of the concierges at the place. And you know, if you ever go to a resort like this, they're all inclusive, which means that all the food and drink is, you know, accommodated for. You pay for it, obviously, in the initial price, but they like to say that it's all included, right? And of course, we don't drink, so we're... I've even looked, can we get a version of this trip without, you know, paying for the alcohol? And you cannot. So I go and pay for a week of booze and don't have one sip. And that was actually how we became friends with the neighbor, because we gave them our champagne. And but, you know, any time that conversation comes up that we don't drink, oh my goodness, it's a, such a... I mean, it depends what version of what kind of people you're talking to. At some point, we ended up talking to some devils. They met us at the smoking area. And, man, they were drunk and just... And my wife and I were like, that used to be us. That was me. That was you. That was how we were, right? Always, you know, just... drunk and having fun. And honestly, it looked like they were having a lot of fun. I'm not mad at them. It just, you know, we get into these conversations and end up talking to one of the guys that worked there, and he said he had not had a drink since January. And I was like, man, that is awesome, right? I don't know the story. There must be one. There always is a story. But you know, I was like, that's so awesome, dude. And so I was just trying to be really supportive. And apparently he goes to some meetings down there, which is cool. And I say, send me your address. And, you know, when a year comes up, I will definitely send you a coin. I mean, when I look at this album, I think this is the 598 Garage, whatever it was called. What is this freaking album called? Garage Days 598 EP or something. Oh my God, I was just such a big Metallica fan when this album came out. I bet, you know, in such a different world back in those days, and I won't go down that path, but you know, we weren't downloading music on Spotify. It was search and seek out what we can find. And I remember going to, we used to go down to the music store, like, you know, at least once a week to see what was out. And I remember walking in and seeing that record. And I remember buying the cassette and just like, wow. I mean, for a kid that was absolutely in love with Metallica at the peak of the Metallica craze, and then this album came out, it was like amazing. So awesome album. Love Metallica. James Hetfield sober. Good for him. I would imagine most of them are sober at this point, but I don't know. But yeah, so, you know, that was cool for him. I hope he can stay sober. I think, you know, he had, of course, he showed pictures of his family and, you know, great family and 100 reasons why he should be doing what he's doing. Like I said, I didn't get into his story or what happened, but, you know. But I said, send me your address, man. I have a coin. If you, you know, if you can get to a year, I will send you that coin. And he was like, all right. So, and we become friends on Facebook and stuff. So we're, it's good to see. But man, it's good to be back. I do love going on vacation. I can give you 100 reasons why I deserve it. But the reality is a couple days into it, and I was actually, I was not as thrilled. I mean, I was very excited, but I was still, you know, I have a good life, man. My life is really good. And we love our house. I love my job. I love my kids. You know, I was already, when my kids, everybody went sort of where they were going to go before we left. I was already missing them. And when we left the cats, I was like, oh, these poor cats. The cats looking us through the window. I'm like, if we could just get halfway out the damn state, if we can get a little bit away, we'll start to break the umbilical cord. And we did, and we had a wonderful time. But I can tell you, day three, I was wondering what was going on back at home, and especially in my business, I don't make money unless I'm working, and so, you know, trips like that cost a little bit of money, and then of course my wife, you know, my wife is the person that eats dinner at the airport, the $25 chicken sandwich, so I had to get back and make some money and you know, get back into the groove, and so everything went smooth. We had a great time, wonderful, 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 great to be back. You know, it's funny, before I left, I didn't go to a meeting all week, the prior week, because I did not want to catch a cold. And then obviously did not go to a week meeting the week I was gone. And so I was a little deficient, and I was fine, but, you know, I needed to get a meeting. And so we got back on Friday night. I had to work Saturday. We've had bad weather, and then so I knew Monday morning, which was yesterday, today is Tuesday, that I would be getting to a meeting, and I did, got to a meeting yesterday, and it was fantastic. I have got to make some changes, got to change it up. And I remember prior to, first of all, thank God for meetings. Meeting makers make it. Meetings saved me. Meetings are awesome. Meetings took me from a street urchin to somebody that could sort of get along in society. It was the transitioning, the hop-off point that where everything kind of changes over. I've shared before, you know, people look at meetings like this punishment, this place I got to go to. If a person like myself at the time, which was really, and still at the time, but at the time was really determined to want to get sober, just stopping drinking wasn't going to be enough. And meetings were there and are there and continue to be there for me and anybody else to teach me how to become a human. You know, whether it's from just sitting, whether it's just from pulling in the freaking parking lot, right? Building up the courage to get out of my car and walk in, right? Because at this point, you know, I'm pretty fucking, you know, deviled up. There's 100 voices in my head telling me we aren't going to do this. I mean, it's a real spiritual battle to try to get to those first meetings. It's a real battle. You know, some of us are forced to through the law or relationships. Some are forced to by imagining that if we do this, our life is going to be amazing one day. And some of us walk in just broken and have really no other way to go. And I think I was a little of all of them. I was not forced to go to meetings, but I did think maybe if I could change my life, I could finally be that amazing person that I've always wanted to be. And number two, I'd pretty much lost everything. And I was broken, and I just, you know, I needed something. And but that's what meetings were about. And they still continue to be that way. And, you know, that's fantastic. I'm so grateful for that. And as a person that has been going to meetings pretty much consistently, minus a couple little moments, but even during those little moments of drinking, I was still going to meetings, holding on for a prayer, and, you know, struggling in and out, but finally, keeping track of the herd, maybe not in the middle, right, but definitely had my eye on it. And when I finally was able to, I was able to get back into the middle. But meetings are the core reason that I am here today, and hopefully in December I'll celebrate, I think it's 17 years of continuous sobriety. And yeah, man, I've seen a lot of meetings, and 17 years of continuous sobriety, but that isn't, you know, I came in 97. I would probably almost have, I guess, almost 30 years, 29 years, had I not done what I have done. But, you know, meetings the whole time. And so the point of all this is that I have seen a lot of damn meetings. I've walked through a lot of doors. I've listened to a lot of preambles. I've seen a lot of good ideas, and I've seen a lot of bad ideas. And I've seen a lot of faces come and go. And, you know, early recovery, early meetings, you know, mouth shut, ears open, eyes open, listening, blown away, right, by the revelation of what I am and how I became that and what it'll take to get out of there. And, you know, with every day, you know, I become a little more comfortable with every day that passes, a little safer, right? Every day that passes, a little memory, a little flesh, right, is forgotten. The pain is forgotten. I've said it before and I'll say it again. You know, the biggest problem with recovery is time for me and for a lot of people, right? It's one of these things that we strive so hard to achieve, but at the same time, it's undermining all of the foundation of what brought us into this program. The pain, right? The memories, the sadness, the embarrassment, the shame. And today, it's all dwindled down to nothing. And replaced by, you know, serenity and friends and, you know, all these other great things. And so the point of all that is, you know, and this started happening, it's happened to me a couple times, but I remember prior to the pandemic, I was going to a lot of meetings. We were living in a different house. I was definitely hitting up meetings in a different area. It had a different vibe to my recovery, but the same thing started to happen. I became cynical, and my eyes rolled in the back of my head too many times, and I was starting to lose interest in going to meetings again. And then the pandemic hit, and literally we're not going to meetings, no more meetings, right? And so it sort of hit at the right time. I was like, you know what, that's cool. I was annoyed anyway. And yada, 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 we have the pandemic, and then time passes, and then the meetings start to open up. And during that period of time, which must have been at least a couple years, I really had started to miss going to meetings. And fast forward a little bit, my home group meeting reopened. We had to wear masks, but you could take down the mask when you spoke. And we were all brainwashed and fucking nuts. And but I just remember going to that first meeting and the tears rolling down my face because I was so grateful that I was able to get back to a meeting. And not just the meeting, but the group, the people, the conversation, the socializing. You know, the magic that comes with a bunch of like-minded people trying to do the same kind of thing, getting together, right? It's really magical. And it was awesome. But, you know, 3 or so years later, I guess it's been now, and the cynicism, right? I'm becoming cynical again. And it's not that I'm cynical. It's just that, you know, one of the things is we don't have a lot of old-timers around anymore to tell some of these people to shut their mouth. I am not the guy to do that. wouldn't want to tell anybody to shut their mouths. I think it's great. But man, some of these fucking people. And I tell you, the last, I was so annoyed by that meeting, you know, where the guy's using his last name and his sponsor's using his last name and they think it's a good idea. And just, you know, I've seen 100 of these guys and I'm great. I'm happy. You know, good for you, man. Do whatever it is you're going to do. But I can't watch it. I'm just sick of it. This meeting's so big. I love it. It's good stuff. These are all good people. But I, for myself, have got to figure out a new plan for some a shakeup in my meetings. So one of the cool things about, you know, recovery and, you know, getting some time is you start to, you know, sponsor people. And I sponsor a couple guys, and we've all made this our home group, and I've sort of felt obligated to stay at this meeting because of these guys. You know, I want to... I mean, I'm trying to show, like, you know, some stability, some trying to, you know, stick with the same meet. I don't know what I'm trying to do. I shouldn't even be worried about it, but I'm just trying to be consistent in my meetings. And I told him the other day, I said, I'm not going to be at the Wednesday night meeting. I'm going to go to a new meeting, which is the Wednesday morning meeting, which is tomorrow. It's at 8 in the morning, and it's as Bill sees it. And it's an old meeting that I used to go to that I really enjoyed. It's a literature meeting. It's not a big meeting. It's probably, and, you know, we have, we have winter meetings and we have summer meetings, and or summer schedule and winter schedule. And this is going to be winter schedule, so I can get down to this meeting without really having any issues. Summer, you know, I could do it, but it changes a little, you know, the amount of people and stuff. So I am going to, I'm going to mix it up. And I told them, I said, guys, you know, I'm going to go to this new meeting. You guys do your thing. They're like, totally. I get it. And I go, yeah, I got to do something different. I'm getting frustrated, and I don't want to be frustrated, and I don't want to become cynical, and I don't want to have judged guys and, you know, all that shit that comes along with it. No. So I'm just going to find a new meeting. And I went to the meeting yesterday. I usually go to Monday night meeting. I decided I will be going to the noon meeting on Mondays for a while. And then the Friday night meeting, I don't know. I'm going to find another meeting. And so I'm going to keep my 3 meetings a week, but I'm going to make them all new and change it up for a while. I talked to my sponsor yesterday. He's actually headed to Mexico. And I told him what I'm doing. He's like, I get it. So what I'm doing is nothing new, but... I guess I felt a little bit bad because the guys that I sponsor, we all share the same home group, and I didn't want to appear flaky. But like I said, I have to find, and you know, just, and I can tell you as a person that's done this for a long time, this is real. This happens. You know, I've had it happen where, you know, what we don't want to happen, right, is I become so cynical and annoyed that I stop going to meetings altogether. And that can be, you know, the kiss of death, and I'm sure that's happened. I've always felt like I need to go to meetings, and then definitely, you know, halfway through this journey, I started to realize that this was my medication. This was, you know, the inconvenience of meetings is what helps keep me going, right? This isn't a meeting, you know, I've said before, if this is better than what you're doing, it's a social event. If going to a meeting is better than what you're doing at home, it's a social event, right? We should come in, get sober, change our life, improve our life, build a life, and then really deal with the fact that, you know, it's hard to leave your life to pull yourself over to a meeting. And that's when I started to realize this is the punishment. This is the medication. This is the transfusion, right? This is the price I have to pay. This is the board on my back that I must carry through the streets. I say it all the time. I don't want to come to this meeting. I'd rather sit on the couch and watch TV with my wife. But here I am. Everything I think I should do, I probably shouldn't. And everything I shouldn't want to do is probably good for me. It's turned out. But you know, this is a real thing. And, you know, I felt a little bit bad, but I talked to the people and I've cleared it and I'm going to do it. And so I'm mixing things up and I hope I'll feel better. It's not going to be perfect. You know, that is, like I said, that is the fucking punishment, man, is to hear the same old shit over and over and to hear these voices come to me and say, and tell me, we don't need this anymore. Right? This is, we've heard it. We've seen guys like this. What are we doing? Right? Why are we here? Right? We don't need this. I've heard it all. I've read it all. You know, I went to the meeting yesterday, my Monday noon meeting, which I really like. It's a bunch of old ladies and stuff. It's really cool. And we read a story out of the big book. And, you know, the story was great. I forget what the name was, but the gist of it was basically the hiding of the bottles. You know, it was a woman, the woman alcoholic, the housewife alcoholic or whatever. And, you know, just how, you know, the transition from just a, you know, maybe a social weekend drinker to more of a daily drinker to hiding the bottles. And I definitely can relate to hiding bottles and, you know, that sick conversation that goes on in our head when we're trying to figure out what we're going to do to discard all these bottles. My wife and I were at the grocery store a few weeks ago, and I'm standing there. We had checked out, and she went back to get something, and I'm standing there, and I'm looking out the window that looks out to the parking lot, and I watch this lady walk up to the trash can with this big, like, hot, cold bag and just start putting bottles into the trash can. And she must have put 9 bottles. You know, shame of hiding those bottles. But it's, you know, and I think anybody that's gone through it, some people didn't do that, but I know a lot of us hid bottles or, you know, just dealt with that. But the real part of the story that I can relate to is when it started to become a secret. And, you know, and I could relate. I remember my early drinking just on the weekends or, you know, just like this and simple, you know, what everybody does. And then my mom asking me, did you drink my wine last night? And I was like, yeah. And then it started to become a secret. And, you know, and honestly, everything I said this in the meeting I shared yesterday, I go, you know, everything that I did back in those days was a good idea, right? Hiding bottles, sneaking it around, not telling my mother, you know. I'll, you know, always these, you know, I'll do this, but I'll replace it before this and then getting caught and but it all seemed like a good idea and it was all just one bad idea after another. And, it's crazy, but man, I'm just super grateful that I am sober today. And I'm so grateful for meetings. You know, if you're new to the program, get as many meetings as you can go to. If you're old in this program and you're struggling with meetings, you know, just roll up your sleeves and keep going. Mix up your meetings, find new meetings, whatever it is you got to do. But, you know, that devil wants us to feel like there isn't any more meetings for us. And that is just not the case. So, but that's what I'm doing. I'm back. I'm excited to be home. I'm going to try to get back into the groove of doing the podcast. Yeah, this had become, I think I might have mentioned this a few times, but this has started to become a little bit of an issue, sort of getting burned out in these meetings. And so I'm excited. I'm excited about the As Bill Sees It meeting because I really do like that meeting. And it's a good group of people. And all right, so let's read the Daily Reflection, October 14th, a program for living. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking motives. Yes. I love that. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 86. I lacked serenity. With more to do than seemed possible, I fell further behind. No matter how hard I tried, worries about things not done yesterday and fear of tomorrow's deadlines denied me the calm I needed to be effective each day. Before taking steps 10 and 11, I began to read passages like the one cited above. I tried to focus on God's will, not my problems, and to trust that He would manage my day. It worked slowly, but it worked. Yeah. I mean, I talked about that the other day, that, you know, that 11th step, you know, sort of, you know, waking up, looking at my day, looking at each client, looking at, you know, how I'm going to have these each conversation, planning it out, you know, prepping the journey and, you know, sticking to the itinerary, and in the end having a pretty good day without too many surprises, at least for me. And I didn't come here for that. Well, listen, hey, I hope everyone has a great day. I will catch you later. Bye.